If you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, the overarching theme or where we're getting to is the fruit of the Spirit, but the title of our lesson today specifically is the solution for our condition, the solution for our condition. And while you are turning and writing and scribbling and all of that stuff, I just want you to think through, has there ever been a time that someone has given you a solution to a problem and you chose not to take that solution? Well, I know you have parents, so yes, I know that this has happened. You're describing something going on and dad in his wisdom gives you some advice and this is what you should do. And you know what? As parents, we try the best we can and sometimes our advice isn't. You poor guy, y'all can move the chairs if you want. I don't know who set these chairs up, but you have like 1 foot of space in between. You're all just like crumpled up. So if you need to move them or something like that, you're welcome to. I have no idea. This is all, let's just say this is cattywampus, right? It's throwing me off a little bit. Let's power through, all right? Okay, so you have your parent. They've given you advice, and then you weigh out, am I going to take that advice? Am I going to take that counsel? Am I going to do that? Okay, and as parents, we try the best we can, but there's some times that, you know, maybe we weren't right, or maybe we didn't see the whole picture, or maybe we don't know what it is. Well, today, Paul is going to give them a solution for the present condition that they're in. And if Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives you the solution, you should do it, right? You should do it. And if you look at this solution today and you say, no thanks, I'm telling you, you're not in Christ. You're not a believer. If you're a believer, you should look at this and say, yes, this is a pursuit of my life. And there are times I'm going to succeed and there's times that I'm going to fail, but this is what I want to do. I want to make this effort. The solution for our condition is walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. In the grand scheme of the book, the first two chapters, all right, the theme being justification by faith, the first two chapters defines what we're talking about. That you cannot save yourself by keeping the Old Testament law. But you don't have to, because Jesus kept the Old Testament law and he died as a substitute in your place on the cross. And now we are saved through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't earn God's love by our works, but now that we are one with God and we are in his kingdom, we want to follow him and serve him. You have justification by faith defined. And then in chapters 3 and 4, you have justification by faith explained. And then 5 and 6 is the punchline. Applied. Justification by faith applied. Look, I have all of this head knowledge, and I understand all these big words from the first four chapters. Now, what do I do with it? Chapter 5, verse 1. What does he say? Therefore, sorry, it was in Galatians. You have been called for what? Freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Specifically to these churches at Galatia, all right, there are some that are genuine Christians. And they understand that they've been saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But others are teaching something different and they're wavering or they're confused by it. There are others that are false believers and they have rushed headlong to keep this works-based practice. But he says, you Christians, you've been set free, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And so last time we talked about the summation of our calling, which is love, because Paul's going to walk through legalism versus licentiousness. Legalism, you are saved, you think you're saved by your good deeds, all right? So imagine a situation where you have a mom and a dad and they have a child, but they don't love that child. The child has to earn that love. Is that ever going to happen? No, right? What? We love our kids because they're our kids. But imagine, and that kid is living in a situation where if they keep the rules, oh, you're loved. But if you don't keep the rules, you're unloved. And then you could keep the rules and get to being loved, but then you break a rule and then now you're unloved. That's what legalism is. Trying to earn God's love through keeping of the laws. Well, we can't keep the laws, we can't do it. But licentiousness, on the other hand, is saying, I am free in Christ, I have license to do whatever I want. Because you just sang about how you're what? Washed by the blood. Washed by the blood. So if I sin, I repent of my sin, and what happens? Jesus forgives me. That's awesome. So why wouldn't I just keep going sinning? I can please myself and do whatever I want. And then I go back to the cross and I say, hey, I need a little touch up here. Need a little cleansing, a little washing. The true Christian never gets to that point of licentiousness. The summation of our calling, verse 13, for you were called to freedom. And you're like, ooh, me likey freedom. That sounds good to me. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So you were in the domain of darkness. You were hateful, hating one another. You were selfish, serving only yourself. And Christ on the cross rescues you and transfer you to the domain of light. You were serving yourself, and now you have been rescued and you are serving Christ. And that is true freedom. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The truth has set you free. But in that freedom, you are now controlled and compelled by the love of Christ. But through love, serve one another. And we talked about that in our last lesson, and you analyzed, are you loving others? Who are you struggling to love? Where do you need to repent? What changes do you need to make? He goes on to write, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. And so we're faced with this reality. I am free in Christ, but you know what? I'm not in heaven yet. So positionally, I have been sanctified, right? I was a sinner. And I have been rescued and redeemed, and now I am viewed with the righteousness of Christ. That is positionally sanctified. And I am progressively being sanctified, where day by day I'm becoming more like Jesus. But I will not be glorified until when? When I get to heaven. So I'm still going to choose sinful things. I'm still going to make dumb decisions. I am still wrestling with what we call this unredeemed humanness. The Holy Spirit, He indwells me. I am a new creation. I have been made new, but I still crave sin. What's the solution? I need to walk by the Spirit. A, on our outline, would be a command that results in a promise. A command that results in a promise. And we understand a command from God is not optional. What is the command? But I say, don't bite, don't devour one another. But I say, instead of that, walk by the Spirit. To walk is to conduct one's life. To conduct one's life. And you're all familiar with The Mandalorian and the whole idea with The Mandalorian. And what was the biggest thing about The Mandalorian way? You couldn't take off your dumb helmet in front of everyone until you found out there were other Mandalorians that did. And then it just all got confusing, all right? But this is the way. There's a way that he walked. There is a way that he conducted himself. As a Christian, how we walk is according to God, in His path, in His plan. Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you will walk in the manner of worthy of the Lord. Christians often love knowledge. They love to show up, the men do Tuesday night to the institutes. They love to take these amazing notes of the sermon. But then it doesn't translate to anything. You have all this theology and head knowledge. And Paul says, I want you to have that. But then that translates into obedience so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You are a Christian. You now walk how he wants you to walk. But how do I walk by the Spirit? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Very familiar verses for you. But let's look at them again. Verse 18. Let's go back to verse 15. Let's do that. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. All right, how many of y'all came Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday? All right, good. Any of y'all go to second service? Any of you go to second service right at the start time? Okay, good. You showed up early, okay? Because if you showed up right at the start time, what did the ushers tell you? I'm sorry, it's full. All right? And we think of being filled. You can think of it like a pitcher. All right? So there's a pitcher, and you think of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's being poured into us, and it's being filled. All right? But think of it like second service. When it got to the point that it was full, what did they do with all the new people who walked in? I'm sorry, you have to leave. You have to go to overflow. Go to overflow. But I want to go in, but I'm sorry, you can't. We're full. There's literally nowhere. We got people coming out our ears, okay? It is full. So that's what I want you to picture, all right? The Holy Spirit is filling you. To the point that there is no room for sin to creep in. That's what we want. That's how we walk. And a counter to that is he commands them, do not get drunk with wine. Why? Because that's the exact opposite. When you drink alcohol to excess, it changes and it alters and it's not you. And your decision-making and your vision and your speed is all impaired. And you are now controlled by the alcohol. You are no longer controlled by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I get filled? How do I get filled? Well, if your car is empty, you go to the gas station and you pay people money and you put gas in it and then it fills up. You come to church. You hear the word. You read the Bible in your personal time. You pray. Those essentials that we're talking about, right? We don't just say them to say them. You practice those essentials, fellowship and worship and prayer and Bible study and service, and that's how you fill your tank. You wake up, you eat food. You're hungry, you eat food. It fills you up. You need to eat spiritual food and it fills you up so then you can do it. How do I know if I'm walking by the Spirit? Let's keep reading in Ephesians. You're going to see the outpouring of being full, of being filled. Look at verse 18 again. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And you're like, well, is this like a a bad musical? Is that what it's talking about? You know, where I'm singing. No. My life, my heart is praising to God. That's the outpouring. All right, so when we're singing songs up here, I'm focused on the songs and I'm singing them to the Lord. I'm not just sitting here like I'm bored. I'm not just moving my lips to move my lips. The Spirit has filled me and I have to sing about Him and I have to sing about what He has done. Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things. If I am thankful, if I am filled with the Spirit, I am thankful for God and I am thankful for the situations that He has put me in. Thankful for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's what it looks like to be filled. Let's go back to Galatians. We know where we're getting, right? We're getting to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, all that wonderful stuff. And if I'm filling up my tank, if I'm allowing, because remember the Holy Spirit already indwells you. He already indwells you. If I just allow Him to fill me, what's going to pour out? Good words, good thoughts, love, kindness. That's what's going to fill out. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. But if you all laughed when I talked about not taking a solution that someone gave you, what's your time in the Word looking like? Are you praying? When you come together, are you coming to worship God together? Your small group time, are you really honing in on that fellowship and that bond and that connection to build each other up in Christ? And if the answer is no, and then you choose sin over here, I'm so surprised. To walk by the Spirit, you must be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, you must put off bad. You must put on the right thing. You must practice the things that God has given us. That's the command, but I say walk by the Spirit. Let's look at the promise. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You know what? I need to get that grade. And I know that it's wrong to cheat. I know it's wrong to copy this person. I know it's wrong to use AI. Teacher said I couldn't do that thing. But man, the solution is just turn a blind eye. I just do this one time. It'll be all right. That is a desire of the flesh. But if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not going to carry out that desire of the flesh. You're going to think from an eternal perspective. You're going to think from an eternal approach. Do you believe in God's promises? And you're like, yeah, I remember Noah, and God's never going to flood the earth again, and that's why we have the rain. Yeah, I believe in that. It's not going to happen. Yeah, I believe that He has a place for me in glory, reserved. I believe that He loves me. I believe in all of God's promises. Yeah, sure. Well, this is a promise. If you want victory over your sin, I don't care if you're struggling with anxiety, with worry, with lust, with anger, with disobedience, with self-control. You can win, Christian. You can win. You can have victory over Christ, but you have to walk by the Spirit. How do I know you can win? Because God promises it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Carry out means to fulfill an obligation, to accomplish. When it comes to desire, it is actually something that is forbidden. Something that God has said, no, this is not good for you. Something that you should know. It's a craving. It's a lust. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to godliness and life through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence, by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Any sinful thing that you want, that you crave, that you run after, Christian, don't you hate it? Don't you want to overcome it? I mean, one of the joys of heaven is there's no pain. Sign me up for that. I don't like pain. There's no sorrow. Check. Like me some of that. There's no sin. I'm never going to have an evil thought. I'm never going to say something that I regret. God promises you right here, right now. You have died to sin. You have been raised anew in Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells you. If you will put forth maximum human effort, pray to him, rely on him, the Holy Spirit will work this out in your life. Guys, you are not a slave to sin. You never have to sin. We can always do what God wants us to do. Side note, I want you to turn to Romans 3:10. Turn to Romans 3:10. If you're an unbeliever, you have no victory. You cannot overcome. Sure, maybe you can make changes on the surface, but your life will be a dumpster fire of servitude toward your selfish desires and lust, and they will not satisfy. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become what? You're useless. Unbeliever, you are 100% useless. God created you to love him and to serve him, and you've run off after your own sin. You are useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. So not already are you a net zero because you're not doing anything that God wants you to do to further his kingdom. You're a negative because you're a liar. You're a viper who bites and deceives, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. The path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, God gives us a command that results in a promise. And that promise is victory over sin. But in order to receive that promise, you have to walk by the Spirit. In order to walk by the Spirit, he has to live in you. An unbeliever, he does not live in you. Let's look at B. A was a command that results in a promise. B, a reality that reinforces the premise. A reality that reinforces the premise. Let's look at the reality first of all. Verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And you're like, this is an interesting side note. The flesh is what we would call our sinful nature, right? So all of you that are unbelievers, you are catering the flesh. You're catering to the flesh. You're serving the flesh, right? When we become believers, we have victory over the flesh, but we still have this unredeemed humanness. Like my pinky isn't like evil, right? That's not what it's talking about. Like my forearm isn't evil. I still have this residual unredeemed humanness that I am yearning one day for glory to be completely and utterly changed. But the spirit and the flesh are no simpatico. They do not get along. When it says sets, it is a desire against or a rise in protest against. A rise in protest. Think of the idea of disliking something. I dislike cauliflower. I can't remember the last time I've eaten it. I always bring it up. I know some of you. Lima beans. Let's throw that one out there. You ever eaten those things? Gross. Asparagus. Aspara, throw it away. Okay? I have a dislike for those things. Okay? But I'm not going to make like a picket sign and walk down the produce aisle and say, no more asparagus. I don't care that much, right? The set against is that, ooh, okay, the NBA playoffs are happening. And it's really hard for me to watch because I just want everybody to lose. I don't think there's one team that I actually root for. Because when I watch all the teams, I remember something that when they played the Mavericks, what happened? And I'm like, oh, dude, I can't watch that guy. I just cannot do that. So it's like baseball. I like the Rangers. I just want the Astros to lose, okay? If the Astros lose, I'm happy, all right? So the NBA playoffs, I am set against the Thunder, you dirty, rotten cheaters. And if they lose, I win. That's what I'm going for, all right? That's what the flesh and the spirit are like. You're like, well, that sounds kind of petty. All right, the flesh is petty. The spirit is not. But they don't get along. They don't mix. They don't like each other. But this is a good thing. And you're like, what? It's a good thing. Paul goes on to write, for these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. Whoa. So I have a yearning to do the wrong thing, and it's the spirit that's like, no, no, no. That's good for me. I want you to go to Romans 7, very familiar passage. Romans 7. And this is Paul, and he's describing this battle that's going on. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. Paul is a Christian. Paul is saved. Paul has the Holy Spirit. But he's saying, there are times I choose sin, and I don't want it. So why am I choosing sin? Verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. He's not saying that he's some puppet and he has no control. But he is saying the unredeemed humanness is what's craving this. And I can't give in to that. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. Amen. Yes. That is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin dwells in me. Do you feel this? Does this resonate with you? Verse 21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Paul was self-aware. Are you self-aware? Are you self-aware? David, when he went out on that rooftop looking around, he was not self-aware. I mean, he became an adulterer and a murderer. He was not self-aware. We are capable of terrible, sinful things, even as believers. Even as believers. And yes, there is forgiveness in the cross, but there are also consequences for that. Verse 22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in my inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war, set against, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Victory only comes through the cross. It only comes by doing things God's way. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. This is the battle of the Christian. It's the battle of the Christian. This is the reality. What about the premise? Because we're looking at a reality that reinforces the premise. And you're like, I don't know what the premise is. Did you spell promise wrong? Is that what we're doing here? Premise, because I looked it up, is a proposition helping to support a conclusion. Well, what is the conclusion? Remember, the whole book is about justification by faith. It is a tutorial on what the Old Testament law means to them now. So he goes on and he writes, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not captive to the law. You are not obligated to the law if you are led by the Spirit. And that's another beautiful way. Walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. The Spirit is leading you. Are you following? Are you following? The reality, the flesh is set against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The premise, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And lastly, C, a list that reveals the position. A list that reveals the position. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, obvious, clear. How are they evident? Remember Romans 1? God has ingrained on our heart a knowledge of good and evil. I mean, why is it illegal to murder people in every single country? Because it's written there. Why is it wrong to steal? Why is it wrong to lie? It's written on our heart. It's evident. It's not like, oh, I didn't know that was a sin. Huh. And he goes on and he lists the deeds of the flesh. Immorality. Impurity. Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Look, he didn't even make it the exhausted list. Look, you know what sin is, right? I know what sin is. It's this. Those are the deeds of the flesh. What about the position? That's the list. What about the position? Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice is also an habitual thing. If you're walking by these things, if you're doing these things, if you're loving these things, if you're enjoying these things, if this is who you are not getting into the kingdom. It's not going to happen. A Christian can do these things. But what do we do when we repent of it? We ask for forgiveness and God forgives us. A Christian hates these things and wants to run from these things. So how are we going to apply this text? How are we going to apply this? I just have 3 points on how to apply it. Do what it takes to be filled by the Spirit. Because you're sitting here and you're going, amen, Justin, I love this. This is a great lesson. I'm going to follow everything that's going on here. When you wake up tomorrow, are you going to crack that Bible? Are you going to spend time in prayer, praying about this lesson and applying it to your life? Are you going to make church a consistent priority? But then you're not doing what it takes. You're not doing what it takes. You're like the musician that doesn't practice and just walks up and wants to perform. You're the athlete that never practices and never lifts and never runs and says, I'm just going to show up to the game. You have to practice these essentials, these spiritual disciplines, so that when you're put into the circumstance, you are filled with the Spirit and able to overcome. Number two, set yourself against the deeds of the flesh. Remember, the Spirit and the flesh are set against each other. What about you? I want you to passionately protest that list in your life. You've probably seen the clips of like the odd environmentalist people. And some of them will even sit and block the road. And I know you're cheering for that car. Stop it, okay? If they're sitting and blocking the road. They believe so much for that cause that they're willing to get run over. And I'm like, have you lost your mind? Yes, you have. I need to protest these things in my life. I need to have a sign. I need to ban. I need to do whatever it took in my life. I can't welcome it in. I can't buddy up with it. Strife, dissensions, angers, immorality. I got to root it out. I have to passionately protest these things in my life. A big issue the past few years are books in libraries and schools and what's allowable and stuff, okay? And some of that, I'm telling you, it's not a reality in a lot of places, but other places it is. And as parents, we point those things out and we protest and we say, get this stuff away from our kids. What about your life? Selfishness. Get this out of my life. I don't want this in my life. Thirdly, evaluate your profession and assess if you want to walk by the Spirit. Evaluate your profession and assess if you want to walk by the Spirit. If you say, look, this is too much, I'm out, Justin. You're not a Christian. And God is making that evident, but I plead with you to repent and place your faith in Jesus. You get forgiveness instantaneously. You can have victory over your sin instantaneously. I want you to keep in mind that anything that I do that is good, anything that you do that is good, it's a working of the Holy Spirit. We did not earn His grace. He gave us His grace. An unbeliever, he wants to give you that grace. He wants to save you, but you must repent and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit these things to your heart. Follow them and practice them. And we're just getting started. We have more of this chapter to cover in the next couple of meeting times. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your word. We see where we fall short. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace and the strength and the wisdom and the power to repent and follow. May we give you the glory for the good things that you have done, giving thanks for your son, Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen.